Amen. Can we just give it up for Cora? Wasn't that a beautiful leading us into the offering prayer? I'm like, that girl's a little bit of a preacher. I love it. So thank you. Thank you, guys. She talked about speaking life over one another, and we're going to watch a clip about how not to do it. Maybe you've encountered somebody like this before, so if you could show that clip.
Church, I don't know if y'all know, church folks can be some funny acting people. I don't know. I don't know if y'all aware of this. I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about other church folks. Matter of fact, I called this woman from my church. I didn't realize it at the time, but I found out that she was a part-time Christian. Yeah. And I apparently called her on her day off. She answered the phone with an attitude. She was like, who in the blank is this? And how did you get this blankety blank number? And I was a little taken aback because I don't curse out loud. You know, I keep it on the inside. So I said, this is Brother Goodwin from the church. That's how you say it when you're spiritual, from the church. She said, oh, praise the Lord, brother. I was like, praise the Lord. What you're not going to do is act like you ain't just cussed me out on the phone. That's what Christians, we got our own vernacular. We got our own way of saying stuff. For instance, God is good all the time. How we know that? We just know it. We just woke up and knew that. Christians, they got these strange things. I had a buddy of mine. He loved to say that the devil is busy. And I'm like, no, you lazy. I called his cell phone. His cell phone was disconnected. I saw him a couple of days later. I said, hey, man, I tried to call you, but your phone was off. He's like, yeah, man. You know the devil's busy. I'm like, the devil don't work for Verizon. You ain't pay your cell phone bill, man.
That's Matthew Goodwin. He's a comedian. He's really funny. But I love what he said. Have you ever met a part-time Christian? Maybe the better question is have you ever been a part-time Christian? Can I just confess that I waited for years to put a celebration sticker on my car because I'm not necessarily the best follower of Jesus when I'm driving around. And I didn't want to let people know what church I went to, right? Like, I think we all have our moments where we kind of take some time off. We get in our own way, perhaps. Let me ask you a few questions. On a personal level, have you ever said something you wished you wouldn't have said? Don't raise your hand. Or you can. I mean, we can all raise our hands, both hands. Raise both. Have you ever said something in the heat of the moment or when you're caught off guard? This week. Yeah. Today. On a church level, have you ever said anything at church or to church people that you wish you could take back? Yeah? What about people who identify as followers of Jesus? Have you ever heard or read about the people of God saying things that are hurtful rather than helpful? The reality is, of course, is that the answer to all of these questions is yes. Yes. We read in the news often how the church, I believe, is undermining the power or just the blessing that Christians are supposed to be to the world. Last week, we looked at a powerful blessing from God to his people in Numbers 6. And we just sang the words to that song. And it's a blessing that God gave to the priests of Israel who were then to pray, speak this blessing over the people of Israel in Numbers 6. Do you have it? I don't know if you have that, Isaiah. I didn't give it to you. Yes, nice. Nicely done. Let's all say it together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Now, I unpacked that last week. If you want to know the really cool nuances of all the meanings there. You can listen to last week's sermon. But that was a blessing that God gave to the priests of Israel to bless over his people. The people of God, in turn, were to be agents of God's blessing to the world. Like, they were to go out and be a blessing to the entire world, to be a light to the nations. We've gotten it wrong, and we've gotten it right over the millennia. But this morning, we're going to look at how we in this room, those of us who follow Jesus, those of us who want to follow Jesus, how we can join hands with him through the power of the Holy Spirit to be a blessing to the world. And so we're going to look. Last week we were in Numbers, which is at the beginning of the Bible. This week we're going to be in James, which is towards the end of the Bible. So I'm just keeping you on your toes, keeping you on your toes. But we're going to be in James today to just explore the explore the words that we use and how to choose our words wisely. So if I can have Hector, if you want to come on up, and Cecilia too. Hector's going to read in Spanish. And Cecilia's going to read it in Portuguese. Love it, love it. So pick up any microphone and start reading.
Porque todo natural de bestia y de aves y de serpientes y de seres del mar se doman y se han sido domados por la naturaleza humana. Pero ningún hombre puede domar la lengua, que es un mal que no puede ser refrenado, llena de veneno mortal. Palabra de Dios.
Vamos ler a Bíblia para Tiago, capítulo 3, versículos 7 a 8. Porque toda a natureza, tanto de bestas feras como de vestes, tanto de répteis como de animal do mal, se doma e foi domada pela natureza humana. 8. Mas nenhum homem pode domar a língua, é um mal que não se pode refrear. Está cheia de pecúnia mortal. Palavra de Deus.
Beautiful. Thank you. Love and having different languages in the house every Sunday. Super, super awesome. I'm going to read in English here in just a moment, but I want to give you a little helpful lens to interpret, to hear, to see the words that I'm about to read. The book of James was written by, can anybody guess? James, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's speaking to both individual people and to the church as a whole. There's a danger that we have when we read scripture is that we make it all about us, which is great. Like, I love it. It's for us. It's God's word to you. But it's not just God's word to you. It's God's word to you and to us as the people of God. The people of God here in Denver, the people of God in Venezuela, in Angola, and wherever around the world. It's the word to all of us. So it's a both individual and communal message and an individual and communal application that we're called to. So I am in James. You can follow along in your handout, or you can just listen to these words. James chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Side note, that verse keeps me awake at night. Just saying, as it should. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Verse 3, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Whew, you guys getting uncomfortable yet? Verse 7, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come blessing, come praise, and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grape vine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. These are the words of the Lord. James kind of brings it. Not kind of, he brings it throughout his whole book. And Eugene Peterson, in his study of James, I think you might have these, Eugene Peterson's quote for the screen here. He says, just as a hospital collects sick people under one roof and labels them as such, the church collects sinners. Huh. Did you know that? You're here. I'm here. So the church collects sinners. Many of the people outside the hospital are every bit as sick as the ones on the inside, but their illnesses are either undiagnosed or disguised. It's similar with sinners outside the church. So, Christian churches are not, as a rule, model communities of good behavior. Although you guys are a good argument for that. They are rather places where human misbehavior is to be brought out in the open, faced, and dealt with. I was talking with someone before the service began. We were talking about addiction and how the opposite of addiction, I've said this many times, the opposite of addiction isn't sobriety. The opposite of addiction is community, where we bring our stuff, our hurts, our habits, our hangups, our wounds, our issues, we bring them out into the open to have God meet us in those places through one another. I'm glad that you as a church community don't have airs or think that you're better than yourself. We're all a collection of sinners desperately in need of the grace of God. And we come here on Sundays. We read scripture throughout the week. We maybe perhaps meet in small groups to be reminded of whose we are, to confess to one another, dang it, I did it again. What's wrong with me? Right? To pray, to bow on our knees before the Lord and say, Lord, help. That's what church is about. Over time, to have the power of the Holy Spirit seep into those wounded places and bring healing and hope, and that we end up becoming a transformed people, not because we figured it out ourselves, but because we know who to go to. And we know how to go to it, to him, with one another. So we see here a particular thing that James is talking about. He's talking about the tongue. Everybody, just stick your tongue out for a second. Just stick it out. They're not very big, right? The tongue is small, but it's powerful. And so James here points out some metaphors to give us an idea of how powerful the tongue is. It's like a bit in the mouth of a horse. You've seen, like, you know, the Kentucky Derby was a few weeks ago. You see these mighty, powerful horses who can turn on a dime because of the tiny little bit that's in their mouth. Or a rudder on a ship. Regardless of the weather, the captain can use the rudder to steer the ship where he wants to go. The idea here is that the words you say are powerful, and they will steer the direction of your life. The words you say will indicate the kinds of relationships you have, your family dynamics, your work or school environment, your friendships, your impact in the world. All of these are directly impacted, affected by what you say day in and day out. You can bless someone and change their world. You can curse someone and change their world. For example, when you're ready, getting ready to go out on the town, how you respond to your significant other or friend when they ask you, "Do these pants make me look fat?" will directly impact the quality of your evening. Can I get an amen? And I'm being silly here, but words are powerful. Words are powerful. The tongue is small but powerful. And then we see in verse 6 that the tongue is small but it's destructive. The first two that we see in verses 3 through 5, they're metaphors. The tongue is like a bit in a horse's mouth. The tongue is like a rudder on a ship. But here in verse 6, we see what the tongue is. It is a fire. It destroys, it devastates, and it corrupts the whole body. The damage caused by your tongue and mine can destroy your life. Have you ever been in the presence of a Debbie Downer and you're having a great time? And then the Debbie Downer starts speaking and you're like, whoa, that just sucked the life out of the room. Or more seriously, have you ever been in the presence of a verbal abuser and how just a few words, a sentence or two can change the dynamic, the affect of the person that they're talking to, can change the whole mood like that? I was thinking as I was preparing this, a common phrase that we use here in the U.S., we are really proud of our rights, our human rights. I love the Bill of Rights. I love the fact that I have rights. And yet, we can sometimes use those to be destructive. Well, I'm just exercising my rights here. I can do whatever I want. I once, when I was in high school, no, it was after high school, I went to a friend's house who had just recently gotten married. This was in the South, and we were talking, and the person said something really racist. And I said, "Dude, what did you say? That's like really racist. That's horrible." And the person looked back to me, and he's like, "Don't you dare tell me what I can and cannot say in my own home." He was a follower of Jesus. Could I have handled it differently? Perhaps. I could have said my words differently, but his take was, "I have ultimate authority over what I say and what is said in my home. You can't speak to that." What we say and what we think has power, and it can be destructive. You can destroy a reputation, turn harmony into chaos. You can ruin the world by the careless words you speak. Words matter. If you find yourself frequently in conflict or often in the middle of some sort of drama, there's a decent chance that your words, that my words, what you say and how you say it could be part of the problem. The tongue is small but powerful. The tongue is small but destructive. The tongue is small, and we see in verses 7 and 8, but it's the tongue is small but untamable. The word here for tame is to bring under control and to continue to restrain, to hold in check. And as powerful as this tongue is, it's extremely difficult to keep under control. The result, we can't control ourselves. We can't hold ourselves in check. We try, and sometimes we may be successful, but we ultimately cannot do it consistently. Scripture says that the tongue is a restless evil. The word for restless is unstable, inconsistent. The tongue is a restless evil. James is speaking to you, to me, to all of us, that we cannot tame our tongues. Which is hard to hear when we have grown up in a culture that values making your dreams happen through hard work and perseverance. It doesn't sit well that there's something we can't control, especially when it's something we can't control about ourselves. So what can we do? It feels a little bit like we're predetermined to hurt others and say the wrong thing, and there's nothing we can do about it. Feels a little fatalistic? Should we never open our mouths again? This is where, maybe, I don't know. No, this is where the language and journey of recovery can give us hope. The first two principles in Celebrate Recovery give us some hope here. By the way, did you know that we're meeting to discuss and pray about restarting Celebrate Recovery in the fall? Would you be praying with us, right? Hallelujah. Please be praying with us on that. And if you're interested in becoming a part of the team or just being a part of it, let me know. But Celebrate Recovery, the language of it, the journey of it can give us hope. The first principle in Celebrate Recovery is this. Realize I'm not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do or say the wrong thing, and that my life is unmanageable. Even the tendency, the impulse, the urge. Dang it. I am. I'm not God, and I am powerless to control the tendency. Occasionally, I have success. Most of the time, not so much. Second principle in Celebrate Recovery, earnestly believe that God exists, that I, that you matter to him, and that he has the power to help me recover. You guys, that's the good news. The good news is that you are not God. The good news is that you need help. The good news is that God knows that. And that he keeps saying, come to me, run to me. I am what you need. I am who you need. I can help you recover. When we recognize that even though we are powerless in our tendency, which is our impulse, our natural inclination to say the wrong thing, we are not hopelessly enslaved. When we realize we are powerless, we realize also that we don't have to be hopelessly enslaved to this tendency to pour out hurt and anger with our words. That our hope lies in the one who has the power to help us, to help me, to help you. The one who has the power to tame this untamable thing. And our hope lies in trusting that he will show us different ways to respond if we choose to see it. That's why in the book of Proverbs, which is a book of wisdom sayings in the Bible, it's in the Old Testament, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Each of us, I don't know if you know this, but each of us carries around two buckets all the time. Yours are probably invisible. These are visible to be a demonstration. You carry around two invisible buckets. They are response buckets, if you will, that you use in every situation, in every conflict, in every conversation that you have at family reunions. Hello. You use one of these buckets at every dinner table or committee meetings. And the bucket you choose can either make the situation better or worse. When the contents of one bucket are poured out, whoo, something just hit the fan, right? And when the contents of the other bucket are poured out, it can actually diffuse the situation. So, for a little bit here, we're going to talk about my hope for you, my hope for me is that you will know and become aware that God will equip you to discern which bucket to use, to choose your bucket wisely. All right, so the first bucket, anybody want to guess what this one's called? Nice. A plus, Stephen Hopwood. This is the gasoline bucket. There's not gasoline in it. Whew. That could be dangerous. Have you seen those videos online where people like pour gasoline on a fire? It's just stupid. It's funny, but it's stupid. So this is the gasoline bucket. We're going to put that right there. So what does the gasoline bucket do? The gasoline bucket represents your natural tendency. your natural inclination, your impulse, how you tend to respond to things when you're hurt, when you're afraid, when you're jealous, when you're tired, when you're disappointed, tends to be the gasoline bucket. Our wonderful founding pastor, Steve Garcia, would always say, there is no situation so bad that what? You can't make it worse. You can always make a situation worse with your words, right? You can always make a situation worse. Now, caveat here. I'm not talking about pain or unjust treatment that's been inflicted upon you. I'm talking about your response to it. Many of you have had things done to you or have been involved with things that were not your fault. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your response to it. Responses that pour gas on a difficult situation to make it worse. I have just a few lists, and you could probably add many more. You see there, reacting impulsively out of anger or stress or hurt. I tend to react impulsively with my children. I'm getting better, but that's probably where I tend to do it the most. Another response that pours gas on a difficult situation, gossiping about it with others. And again, we as church people are pretty good at doing this under the guise of a prayer request, right? Lord, forgive us. We can listen to you and pass on rumors. I don't think that's the heart of God. Another response, making sarcastic comments. We're working with our children on this. Like being able to discern sarcasm versus teasing. When is it appropriate? When is it not? Sarcastic humor often hurts the other person. So just don't do it. Just don't do it. Lastly, pouring gasoline on a difficult situation perhaps is focusing only on the negative behavior rather than looking at the whole person. This is hard. Do you guys ever get myopic? When you get hurt or you're angry at someone, it's like all you can see is what's not good about them. I think we all struggle with that. And we can feel justified in our response and pouring gasoline on the problem, especially when someone else has started it. When our kids were younger, our 2-year-old son at the time, he turns 10 in June. Again, you guys are old because you've known him since he was a baby. I'm not old. You are. When our kid, am I pouring gasoline? I might be. When our kids were younger, when our son was about 2 years old, he figured out that he really liked hitting his sister. He was a physical guy. So sometimes I think he would hit her as a way of connecting with her. Otherwise, he would hit her. Other times he would hit her just to get a reaction out of her. And when he got a reaction out of her, he loved it and was just like, I want to do more of this because it brings me joy, right? Now, his sister, who's 3 years older, had been taught that we don't hit. So every time her brother hit her, she would come crying to us, asking for us to intervene on her behalf, right? But it happened a lot. So finally, Roger and I decided that she needed to defend herself with her brother. So we coached her, you know what? If he hits you, then you hit him back. Come to me for all your parenting questions. But it took her a while to really believe that it was okay, actually okay, to hit her brother. It went against everything that we had taught her up to this point. And our hope, this was our hope. We had good intentions. Our hope was that once she started hitting back, he would stop hitting her. That he would realize that there were negative consequences to hitting a sister. Can you guess how it turned out? So let's fast forward 1.5 years later, and our daughter has gotten really good at defending herself. The problem is that our son hasn't stopped hitting. So if they were playing together and he starts to cry, Julia will preemptively say, he hit me first. That was her justification. Well, you told me I could hit him, so I did. So not only had the hitting not stopped, it had gotten worse. So our brilliant parenting strategy backfired on us. Do you get the picture that what we thought was helpful was gasoline? And that's a funny example, and there's tons of parenting mistakes that I'd love to share with you that turned out to be gasoline rather than water. We have plenty of them. But it's not just with parenting, it's with every aspect of life. It's with church life, it's with friendships, it's with marriages, it's with families of origin. There's a saying, we judge ourselves based on our intentions, but we judge other people based on their actions, where we're aware of our motivations and our intentions, and we can sort of justify things to ourselves, but all we see in other people are their actions. So we tend to let ourselves off the hook. Like my kids reacting to each other, it's easy for us to do this as adults. When we are on the receiving end of bad behavior or hurt or a pain point gets triggered, we feel justified, right? Our intentions, our motivation, we feel justified with equally bad behavior, tit for tat. Whether it's commenting on social media, did you guys know that if you're on social media, you're still a follower of Christ? Other people may forget. Yeah, right. Other people may forget, but I want to tell you, remind you as the people of God who are part of a Celebration Community Church, that when you engage on social media, when you engage online, you are still a part of the body of Christ. You're a follower of Christ. So whether it's commenting on social media or talking about politics at family reunions or being picked on by your brother, it's just far too easy to take a bad situation and make it worse. Hurt people, hurt people. So with this bucket of gasoline, I have a reflection for you. We're going to sit in silence for just a moment, and then we're going to move on to the second bucket. When it comes to this bucket of gasoline, I want you to think for a moment, what is your tendency with your words? What is your natural inclination, your impulse? What is your tendency with your words? How do you respond when you are angry, hurt, or disappointed by someone else's decisions or behavior? So let's just sit in this space for a moment. I want to let you just sort of kind of talk with the Lord for a minute, and then we'll go on to our second bucket. All right. So in our calling as people who desire to follow Jesus, to be a blessing to the world, to speak life over people, the challenge, the call, the invitation is to choose our bucket wisely. We have two buckets. Bucket of gasoline, which makes it worse, right? Anybody want to guess what the other bucket is? Whipped cream. Love that. Not true, but yes, it sounds so good. What is it? I heard several people say it. Water. What? Oh, I said it. I hate it when I do that. Well, this is the water bucket. I know that comes as a shock if I already said it to you. Or you could call it the baking soda bucket, right? You use this bucket to put out fires, to extinguish them. The point is that this bucket, whether you call it a water or baking soda, whatever, it puts out fires rather than making them worse. Proverbs 12:18, again, that wisdom book that's in the middle of the Bible, says the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. That's my prayer for me. That's my prayer and hope for you, that your words, rather than pierce like swords, will bring healing and hope to people. Interestingly, though, water in this instance doesn't come naturally. It's not like it's always just right there, ready for you to get the water bucket to extinguish a fire. You have to dig for it. You have to look for it. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Comes with help from the Holy Spirit. Here are some responses that pour water on a difficult situation to make it better. I wonder if you've done, I imagine some of you have done these. First, wait. Wait and don't speak yet. That's like throwing water on a difficult situation. If you can't think, if all you can think of saying something, if all you can think of is saying something that's attacking or negative or reactionary, then it's better, best not to say anything. If all you can see is the negative behavior in the other person, rather than the person as a whole, then just keep quiet. Again, caveat here. I'm not saying that you should keep quiet when injustice is happening, or that you should keep quiet and never speak up when your feelings have been hurt. I'm saying that if you want to hit back and you want to react, choose the water bucket, keep quiet, go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do I do? What do you want me to say? How do I respond to this? Wait and don't speak yet. Another thing that pours water on a difficult situation is seeking wise counsel. I have so many people that I go to that I'm like, I don't know what to do here. I love calling Pastor Wes and just saying, Wes, could you be a pastor for me for a moment here? I don't know what to do. Or my husband or friends or mentors that I have. Seek wise counsel. When you need help seeing beyond what you think is right and what you think is wrong, sometimes we need a third way, and it's wise counsel outside of ourselves that God makes available to us that can help us. Another response that pours water, it's wait and don't speak yet. Seek wise counsel. Be curious. It's a law of the learner, and this is why I love going to Pastor Wes. He's very curious. What's going on in the other person? Seek first to understand rather than be understood. Their reaction to me in this moment doesn't seem to fit what's going on, or my reaction to them doesn't seem to fit what's going on. Huh? Be curious, Lord, what are you trying to show me? And if all else fails, remember that everyone you meet is made in the image of God. That when God sees them, he loves them. That they're made in the image of God and deeply loved by him. It's interesting that James says this. He gives these, talks about the tongue and how it's untamable. And then right after this section, it's in the last part of James chapter 3, he talks about wisdom. And he says, in James 1, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, if any of you are wanting wisdom, go to God who gives wisdom abundantly and generously to people. So we go to him, we ask God for help. Lord, what do I do in this situation? You say that you made this person in your image. I'm not seeing it. But you said you made this person in your image. How do I love them well? How do I navigate this hurt that I'm feeling? How do I not pour gasoline but pour water, right? So, the water bucket. Choose your bucket wisely, gasoline or water. I'm going to give you another moment to reflect. In what areas or relationships in your life do you need help to choose the bucket of water to make matters better? I don't think we're drawn to this one. I think we need the Holy Spirit in us to help us respond. We need his power to choose the water. So, what areas or relationships in your life do you need help to choose the water bucket? I'll give you just a moment. Now you're going to have a little bit more time to talk with the Lord. We're going to do a little bit of recovery work right here and right now, okay? There's a prayer in your handout. I want you to pull out your handout. And I want you to choose one thing, one tendency. It's a prayer that most of it's scripted, except you personalize it for you. It says, Lord, I confess my tendency to what? Think of one instance where you tend to pour gasoline on the situation. with my word, and I need your power to tame my tongue. Help me to turn to you to blank rather than doing it my own way. Help me to choose my bucket wisely. Thank you that you have the power to tame my tongue. All right? So choose one thing. I'm going to give you a couple more minutes. If we could have some music playing, Isaiah, just to sit in this space. And how is God speaking to you? And choose one thing that you can ask for help with. Lord, thank you that you desire to lavish your blessing and joy and life on us. And I don't quite understand why you want us then to bless the world in your name, because we're not very good at it. But Lord, you call us to do that, and we get in our own way. Lord, I pray that you would make us a people who choose wisely in how we respond. Lord, so that we could pour out blessing and hope and be agents of your healing in a world that is hurting, in communities and families that are fractious and divisive. Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage to keep coming to you, that you would give us this wisdom moment by moment by moment to know how to respond, that you would give us the words to say so that we could join you in becoming instruments of your peace, that we could somehow point this despairing world to you, our God of hope. I lift up each person in this room. I know choosing the water bucket is a lot easier said than done. Thank you for meeting us in this space. And thank you that you don't call us to do it on our own, because we can't. We desperately need you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So good. If some of you need to process some of this after the service, I'd love to chat with you up here at the couches. And we're getting ready to head out, but wanted to let you know a couple things. Next Sunday, Memorial Sunday. Isn't that crazy? I say that every week, like life just keeps getting faster and faster, moving faster. So what does that mean for us here at Celebration? It means we're kicking off the summer. We're celebrating our high school graduates. We're celebrating Sammy J. Crippen, who's stepping down as our youth ministry director. And it also means that we're going to have a taco bar brought to us by our very own Roberto Alfonseca. It's going to be good. So please sign up in the app what you're going to bring, because we're going to need you to bring sides to contribute to the tacos. Roberto's doing the whole shebang, and then we're providing the drinks and the cake and the dessert. But if you guys could bring sides, that would be awesome. And again, that's on the app. Also, a couple other things coming up. Worship and prayer night, we're doing that monthly, usually on a Wednesday. That's coming up on May 27th in the chapel, so mark your calendars. How many of you have been able to go to one of those? They're pretty powerful. It's just worshiping, singing, not just. It's worshiping, singing, and praying over one another. It's the people of God being the people of God. And then on June 3rd is our very first bike shed night. So super fun on the lawn, Wednesday, 5 to 8 p.m. Yes, you raise the roof there. And lastly, you guys, Arts and Jesus Camp is coming this summer, and the registration is officially open. So let your friends know, sign up your kids. Let your friends know so that they can sign up their kids. Let your neighbors know so that they can sign up their kids. It's going to be awesome. So registration is open. I believe there's some flyers in the back. You can either sign up in the church app, or the flyer has a QR code. So if you handed it to somebody, they could just access it through the QR code. Think that's it? Joe? Love it. Does that work for pastors too? Like if I needed a bike? No. Okay. You have to draw the line somewhere. We need standards, right? Repeat what Joe said. Joe said that it's not the bike shed serves multiple purposes. It's if you have a bike that needs repair, feel free to bring it. If you need a bike or in need of one, there's a chance they may have one there as well. So that's why I asked him if pastors could get bikes too, because I need one. But anyway, so you can come for either of those things, or you could just come and hang out and talk with the neighbors because the neighbors love the bike shed. Does that sound good? All right. Can you stand together? And I'll send you out with a blessing, with our celebration blessing. Remember that as you leave this place, that everyone whose path you cross carries a heavy load. And they're triggered all over the place with hurt, with anger, with disappointment, with despair. And if you scratch just below the surface, you're going to find a lot of pain. So be good to yourself. Be kind, kind to those you meet. Grab that hand of your Heavenly Father who walks with you, who helps you when you come to Him pour water. Choose your bucket wisely over and over and over again. Grab the hand of your Heavenly Father and the hand of a friend, and in the love of Jesus, go and celebrate. Amen? Amen. Go in peace.